to Tom Brady now, a free agent for the first time in his career. As many accolades on his resume as rumors about his future. This latest one, that he's demanding $30 million to return to the Patriots. That one seems to be false. We're hearing now that adding weapons is actually a priority for Tom Brady. His teammate, Julian Edelman, tweeting to Brady yesterday, baby comeback.
Oh, that's great. That's from a movie from your era, Jenna.
It's my Say Anything.
Say Anything.
I don't want to buy anything, bought or sold. I don't want to sell anything. I won't do all the lines.
Thanks.
I can, but I can if I had to. Uh-huh. Nick, is the Patriots Super Bowl window still open if Brady takes a hometown discount again?
I don't feel it is. Let's just say he takes the amount of money he took last year. Maybe let's just say he takes $3 million less than he had last year. So you can add a player in the margins. I think 14 was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Last year he got a bump up. He got, I think it was $23 million. So let's say he takes $20 million, which is under Joe Flacco, which we're talking now in the Case Keenum area. It would be a massive discount for a player of his stature, even if it's about on par with a player of his ability at age 43. I mean, the Patriots were not a good team against good teams last year. And next year, they don't have the scheduling gods touching them on the head with the 32nd ranked schedule. Next year, instead of the NFC East, the worst division, one of the worst divisions in NFL history last season, they get the NFC West, what we think is one of the better divisions in football. Now, I know that's projecting, but San Francisco's not going anywhere. Seattle's still got Russell Wilson. I know some people are higher on the Rams than me, and the Cardinals seem to have a quarterback. I think the NFC West most complete division. So they swap out the East for the West. They once again have a first-place schedule, of course. So they play Baltimore and Houston to go along with everyone in the AFC West, Kansas City most notably. Where are you going to make up the ground where you were dominated by Baltimore, dominated by Houston, beat by Kansas City, beat by Tennessee, escaped twice against Buffalo, and escaped against Philly? Those are your games against playoff teams. So with or without a league average quarterback at a discount, do I think they're contenders? No, I think the Patriots, they're not in rebuild mode, but I do think they are in retooling mode next year around figuring out what their offense can do, what their offensive line is going to look like since the departure of Dante Scarnecchia, and what it is on the offensive side of the ball they do great. I think that's what they're going to be figuring out next season.
I don't forget how good the Patriots were midway through the season when they had AB and they had Josh Gordon. I mean, this is a team, but when they have weapons, Tom Brady is able to be the Tom Brady that he was in the past. So I think that this seems more consistent with his whole career path in terms of how he approaches the economy of the game, where he takes less money to make sure that his team is complete. So this seems more consistent with what he is. But I think $30 million is a pay cut in terms of what he could ask for if he wanted to make every last dollar he probably
could. Yeah, the Chargers might pay him more for the his name on the marquee. And so he might be taking, not maximizing his full value financially by staying with New England.
One of the hardest things as a coach, especially after you've had a successful season, is explaining to your players and getting them to understand that you don't get to start where you left off the previous season.
Very true.
And you have to start over. And when you've been successful, you've got to do all the things that made you successful, but you've got to do it better because everybody's chasing you. And there is this thing that I've said over and over again. You go into a season with who you think you are, and then you realize who you need to be, and the good teams are able to make that adjustment. Now, the one thing that New England has done consistently is start over. And they've been able to look at their strengths, their weaknesses, and try to fill those voids and do that through a combination of free agency and the draft. And for people to doubt their ability to do that after year in and year out of having success and to place Tom Brady in the category of quarterbacks, so you're placing him.
That was salary. I wasn't saying he's Flacco and Keenum. I'm saying that's what those guys make.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
$30 million is good value for him for a lot of reasons. I would probably take $2 to $5 million of that and try to go get Dante to come back out of retirement. I think that could be the money that's well spent, no matter what you're going to spend on all the other guys. But he does have Josh McDaniels back, and there is an ability organizationally to recalibrate, to reload, and to fix the mistakes that you've made and to fill those gaps. that other organizations have not shown the ability to do.
It just has the feeling, and their defense played great by all standards. Forget who they played last year. Their defense was a top-ranked defense. But that on offense, all they seem to have or all we seem to talk about is Tom Brady, however you think he's ready or capable of playing going into this year, and Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. How much, I don't remember a season where they're going into, I know you say they're going to recalibrate, they're going to start fresh, and they always find a way to make it work. It seems like they have more holes on offense going into this coming season than they have in years past.
They don't have a great quarterback anymore. They have a quarterback who's the greatest ever, who's no longer great. The last time the Patriots won a playoff game without a great quarterback was the 0-1 Super Bowl against the Rams. Brady was great starting in 0-3. Look at the numbers. Starting in 0-3. 0-2, they missed the playoffs. He actually led the league in touchdown passes in 0-2, by the way. But you guys missed the playoffs. And by 0-3, he might not have been league MVP great, but he was one of the six or seven best quarterbacks in football already. In 2008, they didn't have a great quarterback. They had a fine quarterback. And despite having all those weapons, they missed the playoffs with Matt Castle. Mm-hmm. Last year, they did not have a great quarterback. And despite the soft schedule and the great defense, they don't win a playoff game.
What do you think that Tom Brady isn't doing great anymore? Well, what decline in his skill set do you see? As you watch his game, what do you see that he's not doing great? Well, what's changed?
I don't mean to do this to you, but how about everything? How about let's just show it as best as we can what Tom Brady's last 4 years have looked like. Coach, you're in the market. You buying that stock? That's completion percentage, yards per game, yards per pass, and passer rating over
it's
the
so
last
funny.
4 years.
I was just
years.
Listening to someone talk about stock and saying that you should buy it when people are most pessimistic.
Right.
Not when they're most optimistic, because that's where you have a chance to become really wealthy.
Absolutely. And I tried that once with Blockbuster.
I'm buying
and then they delisted.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's fine. But the answer is every single quarterback indicator, it's like this over the last 4 years. Started at a very high place.
But when you look at it, think about the amount of times he was pressured this year. Mm-hmm. Think about the amount of times he was quickly pressured. Think about the inability for them to run the ball effectively, the injuries that they had, whether it was at left tackle, center, fullback, transitioning at tight end. Mm-hmm. There was a volume of things that changed dramatically. But yet they still went 12-4, they still won the division, and they still were a significant threat going into the playoffs.
I mean, you act like this team is not, they didn't almost have the number one seed. You know, this is a team that's played a lot of football. And the fact that, you know, Tom Brady didn't look at his greatest in the last game, I think it's more a function of the team and how they, you know, I think they're still haven't got over the fact that Gronkowski left unexpectedly. So I think that this is a team that, just like Coach says, they can retool and they find a way to reinvent themselves. They're more honest with themselves than any other team when they're approaching the offseason. So I would not count this team out, and I would not count out Tom Brady.
Can they still win, getting back to our original question, do you think they could still win a Super Bowl the way they're constructed now if Tom Brady returns? A Super Bowl.
Halfway through the year, everybody was saying, myself included, that they were going to win the Super Bowl again. So I think that just because the season tailed out towards the end because of some injuries and because of, you know, losing Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown not being there, being available, I think those two things were major factors in why, you know, they weren't able to stretch the field. They weren't able to run their offense the way that, you know, they had planned on when they acquired these two talented young receivers.
And look at the 49ers. They I love this. They went from coaching the Senior Bowl to coaching the Super Bowl. So the idea of being able to go from a underachieving team to a Super Bowl team, it happens. It happens more often than we give it credit. So to go from 12-4 to winning the Super Bowl, yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable jump.
4-5 in their final nine. Their wins over playoff teams came against the Bills in one-score games and the Eagles.
This is the guy who bought Blockbuster.
Okay, well,
Nick's not convinced.
Take whatever you want from that.
Nick's not convinced.
Macy's is up.
To the much anticipated matchup of the young NBA one named superstars, Giannis and Zion facing off for the first time in their careers, and Giannis got the best of this matchup. Zion scored 20 points, but he did shoot just 26%, his worst in his young career, while Giannis finished with 34, led his team to a 12-point win. Here is Giannis Antetokounmpo after the game.
First time going against Zion, what did you think about the matchup on both ends of the court?
Great. Gonna be a really good player for a lot of years to come. He's out there helping the team. He's
competing as hard as possible. You just gotta stay healthy and you're gonna have a bright future.
He's the former MVP. I mean, it's like going up against any great player. Like, do as much as you can to slow him down.
He's his own player. You know, he brings his own style to the game. That's why he's Giannis. But when I'm out there, I don't think about stuff like that. I think about just trying to create for myself and create for my teammates to try to get the win.
Vinny, I'll start with you. What do you make of Zion really having his first bad game as a pro?
9 months ago, he was at Duke. That's what I'm thinking. I think sometimes we put the cart ahead of the horse in a lot of different ways. And this guy's played his sixth game. Like, he is still getting his feet wet in terms of NBA basketball. And you're playing against the best team in the league that can win 70 games. If that's not a recipe for having your first bad game, I'm not sure what is. And if there's a player that physically can give him problems from an athletic standpoint, Giannis, from a limb standpoint, it's going to be Giannis, because the quickness is there and he's bigger, longer, faster, stronger, and a little more mature, you know, and knows how to work the angles on the floor. And you saw it a couple times. There was a couple of, you know, welcome to the NBA moves, young fella, from Giannis to Zion, which usually happens. I'm not surprised that last night. I don't think that's a demerit on anything that Zion has accomplished so far.
And I don't know if Giannis is stronger, and I'm not even certain if he's faster.
He's got grown man strength.
Sure, and he's so much longer. I mean, Giannis is a freak show. Giannis was about Zion's height when he was drafted, and then he just grew an extra 6 inches his first few years in Milwaukee. This matters nothing to me as far as Zion's future. It's not just that they're the best team in basketball in Milwaukee. They are the best defense by a wide margin, and they are a defense most perfectly set up to stop Zion's game, because everything right now Zion does is at the rim. That first game he played, he hit those four threes. He hadn't hit one since. Like, we know that is going to be a work in progress for him. And Brook Lopez, the Brook Lopez 4.0 version that Milwaukee has gotten, has turned into a spectacular rim defender. Giannis might be the best defensive player in basketball, to your point about the length and the quickness, all of that. Like, going into the game, he had taken 60 shots at the rim. He had made 40 of them. That's 67%. Last night, he took 15 shots at the rim. He made 5 of them. And he had 4 long arms meeting him most plays, 2 long arms meeting him some plays. Listen, Zion is not yet one of the 10 best players in basketball. He's already one of the 50 best players in basketball. To me, there's no doubt about that, and you could probably tick that higher. But this is the toughest matchup for any guy of his skill set in the league, because they don't allow points at the rim, and that is right now the only place he's comfortable scoring. And you saw it. I mean, how many arms are meeting him every time he goes? So I'm not – listen, anyone that wants to sell any Zion stock, anyone that, as they were saying before, and I love Ja, wants to trade Ja stock for Zion stock, I'll take the Zion stock. He is going to be a super duper star in this league. Milwaukee is the best regular season team in the league by a wide margin.
And what does it say, Vinny, that his floor, maybe you saw his floor last night, is still that high compared to other guys who were 6 games into their career?
I think you're saying you might be selling him short. Like, I think he's going to be a top-level player next year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just from what you've seen in a very small sample size in terms of his adjustment to the game, in terms of how well he handles his body. Like, everybody talks about, well, he's 6'6", he's 285. Yeah, he's always been 6'6", 285. Like, you know how to negotiate your body around the rim. Just because we're seeing it for the first time and the league is seeing it for the first time, his quickness around the rim, his second jump, is something that if you're playing small ball center, which is essentially what he's playing, that's tougher for so many other teams to combat in terms of giving somebody with the quickness to defend him and getting someone with the athleticism to handle him. So I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about an all-star player next season.
And by the way, if people didn't watch the game, the Pelicans had the lead at halftime. It was the third quarter the game totally got away from them. They lost the game by 12, lost third quarter by 18 points. And so Zion, I think, only took 1 field goal to third quarter. It's a bad third quarter for them in a game he struggled overall. But the Pelicans, all things considered, honestly, acquitted themselves somewhat well against the best team in basketball.
All right, on to the other big game last night. Lakers hosting the Spurs, and LeBron put on a vintage performance, dropping 36-9 in a blowout win. 19 of LeBron's points came in the fourth, where he went 5 for 5 from three, each shot seemingly harder than the last, prompting Greg Popovich to say after the game, make sure you get good pictures. More now from LeBron's teammate, Anthony Davis.
It's always fun to watch him, and you know, we're all excited. We're all, you know, saying heat check, you know, give him the ball, and he was looking for it. And you know, guys were, you know, looking for him, on the guy that was on the floor. And he was able to make five, and you know, the timeout happened, and it wasn't even planned. We all just, you know, took off and ran over there and just, you know, kind of just jumped on him. So moments like that is why, you know, we are the way we are.
And it's moments like that that make you fall in love with watching LeBron do what he does this deep into his career. Is LeBron, Nick, proving that he is still the best player in the NBA in year 17, despite
his... Well, the guy we just talked about, Giannis, no, is going to win the MVP. And it, if the vote was today, Vinny has a vote. I horrifically do not. But it would be...
Thankfully, do
it
not.
It would be unanimous, I think. I think Giannis would be unanimous MVP. And throughout the course of an 82-game regular season, I think Giannis is the guy you would want because he is so much younger. He does so many more. He does everything except for shoot the three at a super high level. But if you define best player by who would every GM, whether they want to admit it or not, want to have still come playoffs, of course it's LeBron. In the regular season, he's the second or third best player in basketball. We were talking about MVP voting. He right now would be second or third on most people's ballots up to this point. But there is not another guy in the league, Giannis included, until Giannis shows it to us, and I think maybe he will as soon as this year, that he can do it in four consecutive rounds. There's not another player in basketball you'd want over this guy. There's, and that is, to me, inarguable. I don't know if you agree or not. If you don't, I'm very curious who you would say, because what he does every single night is find exactly what his team needs to put them in the best position to win. If it's defer, if it's attack, if it's lock in defensively, and he is showing no letdown in year 17 after his first year with a significant injury.
I think that what you're saying, in theory, is correct as far as him being the ultimate Swiss Army knife. Like, he can assess whatever the situation is and be able to, in his computerized brain, you know, be able to give you what you need by and large. And on a given night, I think he can be the best player in basketball. Every night, I can't say that in year 17, A, there's no precedent for it. You know, Michael, Magic, Bird were all gone. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had already started the steep decline and had Magic Johnson there.
Karl Malone was excellent, and Kobe was very good until he popped his Achilles. Those are the only guys in year 17 who've done anything close to what LeBron's doing.
I will take umbrage with you even bringing Karl Malone into this conversation. Just
okay, don't, fair. Don't, we don't have to get have a Karl Malone debate.
Thank you. Don't we have to do that. But what I will say is this. If there's a game, I may take LeBron. If it's a playoff series, and I think that's a completely different conversation, there's a couple players that I may take above him, including your guy Kawhi.
Just because he brings it on
both ends.
There are
two totally different players.
He doesn't guard the other team's best player anymore. He stands in the corner. I watched him play the Rockets. He's in the corner on PJ Tucker. He's not guarding James Harden. Come on, hold on. What Kawhi we talking about now? The Kawhi that has to do everything for the Clippers offensively and has done it and has been exceptional, he occasionally will guard the other team's best player. He ain't locking down the other team's best player. That's not his job there. That's not what they've asked him to do there.
Well, here's what I'm saying, Nick, here's the thing. It's not smart to have your best player who's carrying the load do that. But the fact that you can stick Kawhi on another team's best player and he puts him on punishment, to me, that's something that LeBron
can do that.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not at this stage of his career anymore. I think that's too much to ask. LeBron is not Superman. He's not this like unbreakable figure. When LeBron was in Miami, if we're talking about 2013 LeBron, absolutely. That might be the best player I've ever seen, sans Michael Jordan. But year 17, LeBron,
not that level defensive player. You think the Western Conference Finals are going to be Clippers-Lakers, right?
Yes.
So if before the finals, the Clippers and Lakers flip-flopped LeBron for Kawhi, you think the Lakers would be better and the Clippers would be worse? Do you think that? Because that's a series.
No, I don't think that, because the Lakers are built around LeBron and the Clippers are built around what Kawhi will be available to do.
Both teams kind of built on the fly, but okay, sure.
But you're building a team around what you expect the best of Kawhi and
LeBron to be. So you'd rather have Kawhi in a playoff series than LeBron?
At this stage?
Okay.
At this stage?
That's fascinating.
Can I ask you guys a question? Could the Lakers win if LeBron is the best player on the team, or would they need Anthony Davis, do you think, at the end?
No, LeBron has to be the best player. Anthony Davis has to be a way overqualified Robin. in a playoff series until we see Anthony do it. We've got to see Anthony do it in a playoff series. He's got to be like LeBron. The Lakers' path to a championship, it's simple, but it's hard. LeBron has to be the best player in the postseason, as he's been every year for the last nine. The best player in the postseason. And while you're falling all over yourself about what Kawhi did last postseason, I am old enough to remember the last postseason LeBron played in, when he averaged 34-9-9, hit two game-winning shots, had a 45-point game seven, had a 36-15-9 game seven, and had a 51-8-8 against KD and the Warriors. A healthy KD and the Warriors, by the way, which of course Kawhi didn't have to go against. So, but that's cool. I'm excited that you'll take Kawhi. I think it's a really fascinating take.
A lot can change in 2 years.
Yeah. Let's see it.
He grew hair. I mean, look at that.
Let's see it.
I mean, he's not believing in what Kawhi did last year.
I am believing
in. We got to take a break.
One of the six best players in the world. There ain't no shame in that.
Sticking with the NBA now.
Long absence.
And just when you thought the Rockets couldn't pull off a 14-12-player trade, Vinny, the Rockets did just that. Trading away starting center Clint Capela to Atlanta, they get Robert Covington from the T-Wolves in return. Biggest NBA deal since the Knicks traded Patrick Ewing to Seattle back in 2000. Nick, did the Rockets improve their title chances with this move?
You know, it's really, really tough because you don't know what you're going to get from Clint Capela. Dealing with this foot injury and the plantar fascia, and there was real concern. They said he's not going to be back till the All-Star break, but I think there's real concern that you weren't going to get 100% Clint Capela all year long. The Rockets are now, they are further pushing all in on a small ball, who gives a damn about rebounding. We're going to shoot 55 threes a game. Now, I do think they got better on the perimeter defensively. I know Rocco's been down for maybe a year and a half, but I think he has shown the ability to be the traditional 3-and-D player, one of the few pieces of the process in Philly that it's like, oh, wait, we actually found a real live NBA player there, and his contract's a good value. But when I look at what you have to get through in the Western Conference, I would have liked to keep Clint Capela. I said to you yesterday, the Rockets, what they know more so than almost any other team out West is they've got a starting five who has been there that they believe in. And I know people crush them because they couldn't get past KD and the Warriors. But when you have Russ, Harden, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Clint Capela, those are all B-level players or above at what they do. And in the West these days, with Jokic, with Anthony Davis, it won't hurt you against the Clippers, I suppose, because they don't have a true big man that you go to. But the Rockets are going to place everyone 6'6 or below. It is a fascinating attempt at winning a championship, and it's unprecedented in modern NBA history to play a team as small as they're going to play.
That was a very long-winded way for Nick to say that he does not want to insult his buddy Daryl Morey and say that Daryl did something that makes absolutely no sense.
So you hate the trade?
It's not hate the trade because I didn't think they are any closer to winning the championship than they were before, because I didn't think they were closer to winning the championship.
Did they get further away?
Farther, yeah, I think they do. Because here's the thing. You have championship teams have to win more than one way. Golden State, for all of their three-point shooting and everything else, they were the best defensive team in basketball, and they could play so many different ways with different lineups that you couldn't prepare for them. It just looked pretty with Steph and Klay, and even later when KD got there. It's a completely different game for Houston. Their perimeter defense has gotten better, but I'm not going to call James Harden or Russ plus defenders perimeter-wise. James Harden's an underrated
post defender. He's a great post defender.
But how many guards are going to be posting you up in the postseason when it counts?
Well, at this point, he might be the power forward for the team. So it might help him in that regard.
And my thing is, rebounding matters. Shot blocking matters.
Rim protection matters.
Nick, a couple of segments ago and yesterday, railed on me about the Clippers not having a rim protector.
100% agree.
And the Rockets have no one. And you can talk about PJ Tucker being your best defender and putting him everywhere. You're going to wear that man out.
You're right.
And the reason that Golden State's depth lineup worked with Draymond Green, Iguodala, you know, Howard.
Draymond could rim protect.
He could rim protect, but B, you could do it in small doses. You did not have to play that for 36 to 38 minutes a night. Houston's going all in on a lineup that has a very short shelf life.
But Nick, you're an analytics guy. And when I first read this, I was like, oh, small ball. Nick's not going to like, oh, but But I think there's a part of you that is looking forward to seeing how Daryl Morey is putting this team together, how they're going to do something different like they did before, and say maybe the three is going to end up taking us further.
Nobody's more of an analytics guy than Daryl. Mm-hmm. And this is just going all in on the math of what our deficiencies don't matter if we just bombard you with a shot that's worth 50% more than the shots you're taking. Because it's not.
That's what this is.
That's all this is. But Vinny is absolutely right, which is why I did not sit here and say, I love the trade. It's a home run. Because I do think rim protection matters. I think Clint Capella had some tough moments in the postseason over the last couple years. We all know that. There were a couple moments where you wondered last season, like, really? You just got this new deal and really this is how you're playing? But he is at his best at healthy, and maybe they didn't think they were going to get that, pardon me, again this year. He's a real viable rim defender. They now don't have that. Now, can you bombard a team with threes in a series? Sure. Can the Rockets still, do they still have Harden, who just dropped another 40 last night, nobody cares, Russ coming off his best month as the team with the team? Yes. But all roads go through the Lakers and the Bucks. If you're trying to win a championship, everything goes through those two teams. People talk about the Clippers all they want. The Lakers and the Bucks have been the two best teams in basketball.
So you mean to tell me, playoff series happens. Clippers, Rockets. You're taking Rockets?
I said before the year and right now, absolutely yes. But let's say I'm wrong.
We don't have to say you're wrong.
The point that I'm making is the two best teams in basketball both have dominant giant people. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis and Giannis. And LeBron, who plays like a giant even if he's not a seven-footer. How are you going to offset that if your biggest guy on the court is 6'6"? I don't know.
Well,
Now, I think the Rockets would tell you, in the critical moments against those teams, we were playing this lineup that we're going to be playing now anyway, that in our biggest spots. But your point that to play it in your biggest spots as opposed to the whole game, it's a big difference.
And here's the other part of it. Mike D'Antoni does not play, he doesn't have a long bench. So you're playing these guys long stretches of minutes, and you're telling me that you're going to get through four rounds of playoffs, three rounds of playoffs, let alone two rounds of playoffs. I can't see them getting past Rudy Gobert in Utah because size matters, especially in the postseason, where we all know what everybody's doing and it comes down to execution. And yeah, while Houston can win you a game from the three-point line, they can lose you another two when they miss 27 in a row and you have no contingency plan on stopping the other team or even having another offensive strategy to manufacture points.
Well, the 27 in a row has happened one time in NBA history. Unfortunately for them, it happened in the biggest game the franchise has played in a quarter century. It was imperfect timing for them in that regard, but that's an anomaly. I think Daryl would tell you, and I haven't talked to Daryl. This trade happened overnight. I have not talked to Daryl. You're right. I do consider Daryl a friend, but I can separate that from the commentary here, that if they were to play Utah, if Utah wants to run 30 posts up for Rudy Gobert, Houston will be thrilled about it. I do think there's an element of that if when they play the Lakers, you're going to dump it down to JaVale a bunch of times because he has size advantage, they'll sign up.
But that's not a way you exploit size advantage by doing that.
No, that's exactly what I was about to say, is that the issue is going to be when one of the stars of the league comes flashing down the lane, who is meeting him at the rim. And Draymond, while undersized, Draymond was elite at that. And Draymond's taller than anyone the Rockets are going to be starting, even if it's marginally. And so, yeah, it's a roll of the dice. And it's one that I did not see coming as far as if you trade Capella, it's for Robert Covington. Now, they do have extra cap space. There is still now, another 30 hours until the trade deadline thereabouts. Maybe they have another move coming. But right now, this team does appear to have a pretty significant hole at a pretty significant spot.
It strikes me as desperation.
Okay. Well, you thought they were desperate anyway. You thought this was a one-and-done team anyway.
Well, here's the thing. I think people don't, I'll give the Rockets this. Since they've acquired James Harden, they've been a pretty consistent contender, but those things have a shelf life. And sometimes you miss your best chance. Think about the Phoenix Sun teams of the 90s, the Sacramento Kings teams of the previous decade. Sometimes you get that one shot to topple the dynasty, you don't do it, and all of a sudden you're close and you never really get closer again. And I'll say this.
I don't think they're done. I don't think it's impossible they win the title this year or next. But in all likelihood, the smart money, the best chance the Rockets ever had to win a title with this core was up 3-2, about to go up 3-2 on Golden State in 2018, about 8 seconds before Chris Paul pulled his hamstring. That's probably, we're going to look back and say that's as good as it was. But this is now, they're adding more variance to it, maybe because they know they need to shake the snow globe a little bit to have a real chance against the best of the best.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.